Valley with Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally, episode 7. Season 7, all the 7s, I got it right this time. Anyway, folks, thanks for the download, we do really, really appreciate it. A busy show with lots of various different bits and pieces. We've got Rob Duggan coming up a little bit later on, who's going to be talking to us about not only becoming a British Rally Champion last year, but stepping up to the Junior World Rally Championship, which has kind of engulfed the DMAC Drive Trophy thing now as well. So we're going to be talking to Rob a little bit later on, but without further ado, I thought of a frightening statistic, by the way, boys, before I do the formal introductions as I normally do. Ryan Champion, right, and I know I'm doing this kind of out of order here, but Jack Bennion, out of the pair of us, right, is the only person that's won a rally in the last 3 years.
It's a worrying statistic, that, isn't it? We're going to have to do something about that. I mean, Tony, I reckon that's, you know, it's down to you. It's about time you won a rally.
I couldn't agree more, but unfortunately, a little less... ST doesn't really, it's not really an event winning car, is it? Let's be honest with you.
Well, then buy something faster.
I wish I could, right? I wish I led the life that Ryan Champion does, where you can have, oh, by the way, if you're playing Absolute Rally Bingo, we're going to mention two X-Works now, of course, the excellent Absolute Rally Bingo. Ryan now has two X-Works cars, and the Evil 9 clearly could be an event winner this year, but we're going to come back to that in a second anyway. But obviously we've got Ryan Champion there and Jack Bennion, of course, the aforementioned Jack Bennion, who he is a rally winner in the last 3 years. Hello, Jack Bennion.
Hello, Tony Simpson and Ryan Champion.
Yeah, it's that statistic. I think I mentioned it to you last week, and I'll be honest with you, it's kept me awake at night for the last 7 days. And I thought, I need to mention this to Ryan, because out of the two of us, realistically, Ryan is the only one that's probably going to put that right.
Well, it's coming up to a year actually since I won the Lee Holland Memorial Rally at Anglesey, so I'll soon be dethroned by someone else.
And Jack, you haven't got long to get us a car for the Christmas stages now, you know, because it's this year now. So, and we're only probably 9 months away now. So you're gonna, you know, don't forget.
No, I promise that I will procure something interesting for you. So
I
will do it. Yeah, I will.
Do I
don't
need to perhaps come and do the Christmas stages? Is that?
You can. I'll sort the car. You can co-drive, and Ryan can drive. How's that?
That's a frightening. What are you going to do in the whole thing other than sort the car? You're going to be like team boss.
Yeah, of course. But the most important part.
Okay, folks, you heard it here first.
There's no way you'll be as polite a co-driver as Jack Bennion.
No, I'm not. I'm just not even that polite in life. Let alone anything else. Let's be honest with you, right? Jason Lepley, who's probably listening to us in his bath now. Jason Lepley, the very famous classic rally car dealer, must have something interesting in 9 months' time that we could use. Jason, you know you want to. You know, I know you're in your bath now, you little rubber duck. Just have a think about it. Let us know. You know where to find us.
Do you know that's a bit spooky, because the last message on my phone was from a chap called Jason. The very same.
There you go. Well, it just comes to me now that when we were at the Christmas ball in December, that he told me he listened to us in the bath. And now other people, by the way, folks, have returned to tweeting us and let us know. The very, very famous international co-driver Michael Orr tweeted us last week to say, I'm just painting me fence. Thanks for getting us through the journey of painting the fence. And then Seb Marshall tweeted in as well, saying, yeah, it's quite good to have something to listen to when you're doing these types of jobs. So Seb was up to something as well, to which I said, the rally drivers do nothing. It's just co-drivers that listen to us when they're doing boring jobs. But if you want to let us know what you do when you listen to us, obviously keep it clean. Obviously Jason is, that's why he's in the bath. So let's not think about what he's keeping clean at that point. But yeah, Jace, please get in touch. Anyway, boys, we digress. We're 6 or 7 minutes in, and we've talked absolute nonsense. We're going to obviously
not
thinking you at all there. As I say, we mentioned Rob Duggan is coming a little later on. I want to talk to more about that a bit later on. But I want to come to Yari Matti again. He seems to be a big part of the show, by the way. And he did like a tweet that we put out with regards to his win on Sweden. But Lafala fears Mexican challenge, Jack.
Yeah, there's a lot of elements to this one, isn't it? And we've discussed it quite a bit on Absolute Rally in the past few weeks, and after Sweden as well, when we kind of realised that Latvala has taken the championship lead and we're sweeping the road in Mexico. I think one of the things Ryan alluded to maybe last week or the week before was how the engines are going to fare at high altitude, and that's something all the WRC teams competing have got some sort of data to go off, and have been competing in Mexico for a while now, and that's something Toyota aren't going to have, is the data of how the engine works in that kind of climate. So that's one thing thing that's going to be a bit different for them. And Yari's also picked out, obviously, the fact we've discussed already about him sweeping the road. And I think Ogier's quite often picked out Mexico as one of the most difficult to sweep on in a season, hasn't he? I'm pretty sure I've read that a few times. So Yari's going to have a difficult task ahead of him in the Toyota, and it's going to be interesting to see if he can sort of combat going first on the road, because Sebastian's struggled in Sweden. So it'll be interesting to see how Yari gets on in Mexico.
Right, whether I'm overthinking this a little bit, but is Yari Matti already kind of, that mind talk's already kicking in for him? I really hope not.
No, I don't think so in this case. I mean, we that's something we've talked about a lot, isn't it? Yari Matti's state of mind. But I think for once, we're talking about him in positive terms. He's done a fantastic job so far, and that's nice to see. We all wanted to see Yari Matti back at the front. And I think he's just been realistic, to be honest. I mean, we didn't expect to see Toyota fighting at the front in the first two rounds. I think we'd be the first to admit that. And that's what happened. They've now taken a victory, and I think he's just probably resetting expectations. You know, once we get to the rallies that are maybe better known by the other teams, that they have more set-up information for, more experience of, then as we talked about last week, we might see Toyota step back a little bit or slip back a little bit. But no, I think he's just been realistic, and he's just downplaying expectations that don't expect him to go to Mexico and win again.
Jack, do you think, we spoke about this, of course, that the Hyundai wasn't massive leaps on this year? They were planning on using the coupe, of course, last year. It didn't quite happen, so that kind of got pushed forward. Do you think Hyundai will have a little bit more than some of the other teams when it starts getting to some of these rougher rounds? Because, you know, effectively, they have carried over so much from a previous generation car.
To a certain extent, maybe, yeah, but I think, you know, apart from Toyota, the others have all got some sort of data to go off. I know Citroën weren't a fully sort of Citroën team last year, but it was still PH Sport, and I'm sure Citroën will still have access to all the data on that. And M Sport, obviously, were there last year as well. So, yeah, I think, I don't think they're going to have any sort of major benefit, but, yeah, just something that occurred to me there, sorry, while Ryan was speaking, was, Latvala won Mexico last year, and it was the only win of the year last year. So, he's definitely got the sort of experience of Mexico, and it's clearly quite good there, so maybe he can just push the Toyota over the edge, and although he has reset expectations, you know, maybe we can expect something decent out of him. It's going to be difficult and interesting to see what the road sweeping actually does to him.
Right, if I can come to you at this point, obviously we have listeners all over the world, and we also have listeners that, you know, we had some really, really nice tweets after we did stuff with Paul Coleman from the Dirt Game and stuff, where people have got into our podcast because of they've accessed via that. Can you just explain maybe to the layman amongst us, and even to me, I've never been first on the road, just what this kind of sweep and effect is all about?
Well, just before we talk about that, Jack was just saying that Latvala could maybe tip the car over the edge. Didn't he do that last week in Spain?
Yeah, but we spoke about that. The rear spoiler stayed on, so everything's fine.
Everything's fine. First on the road, it all depends on conditions, and that has a massive effect, because if it's damp, it can actually be an advantage, or if it's potentially getting muddy. But if we're talking Mexico, then obviously we're normally talking dry conditions, and it's a little bit like if you go up somebody's gravel drive a little bit too fast, what happens, Tony? You come to a corner and you think, oh, there's a nice bit of gravel here, and you go around it, what happens?
Well, don't, because somebody went up my gravel driveway and damaged my driveway, and I have to go after Benson's for Beds and put a claim in. So I don't think that's going to be the same. But what will happen is they will understeer off invariably. There'll be no grip. There's
right,
no grip.
That's on your
yes,
drive.
Yes, it is.
But it's like driving on ball bearings, yeah, effectively, and as cars go over it, and like I said, if you go down somebody's nice gravel drive, you go a little bit faster around the corner, you do slide a little bit, it pushes the gravel to one side, and people say, look, I can see where you've been sliding. But that's exactly what happens. The more cars that go over it, the more loose gravel gets pushed from the middle of the road where you're driving, pushed right to the edge of the road, so you actually end up with a clean line, and you get down to the hard surface underneath. And that's why if you're running maybe fourth or fifth car on the road, you get an ideal position, because the road hasn't started to cut up, but you get down to the hard surface underneath, and it's amazing how quickly it does clean with competing cars, and you get down to a much grippier surface. But it also can affect it the other way. You know, you get too many cars passing over it, the road digs up, or potentially in Monte Carlo, that clean road gets snow dragged across it, or on a tarmac road that's clean, you can get mud dragged across it from people cutting the corners. So it works both ways, but we normally hear in WRC about running first on the road being a disadvantage, and that's because of this ball bearing type effect on the line you want to be on.
There you have it, folks. The other thing, of course, as well, which is something that's spoke about quite a bit, and I just wonder, Jack, whether it's going to get spoke about more and more the closer we get to Mexico. Of course, the new engines, the more horsepower, and of course the probably not, the best way of putting it is because the asthmatic effect of the altitude in Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned it early on, Tony. I don't know if you're listening to anything I've said in this podcast, or whether you just kind of switch off while I'm talking. I'm not entirely sure.
Right, what did you say? Sorry.
No, actually, Jack just spoke.
Oh, was it? Sorry,
train.
No, did I didn't. Yeah, I didn't pick up on that. No, not at all. Jack, I do apologise, but that's why I came back to you, is because it is going to be something that is going to be getting spoken about. Repeatedly leading up to this event.
Do you want me to speak about it again?
No, I don't want you to speak about it. I was just making a point, the fact that it is going to be one of those things that, you know, leading up to every event throughout this year about these 2017 cars, there's going to be something else that's kind of thrown up about it. Suspension travel is going to be another one on Mexico. It'll be the first time. Then we're going to go altitude. So there's going to be firsts on every rally that people are going to talk about, whether it's in the press, whether it's on podcasts, or whether it's on social media. And that is going to be one of the things, which is why I was coming back to it, Jack. If you want to be anal about it, Jack, that's why I mentioned it again.
Well, that's all right. Well, you've explained now, and I can talk a little bit more about it.
Well,
I think I was not expecting you to say yes, to be honest, but yeah, I agree. We talked a lot about the bodywork, haven't we, and that kind of stuff. That's going to be, well, we expected that to be an issue before the start of the season, didn't we? But we've not really spoken about it too much. You know, Osberg's wing came off in Sweden, but we're not really getting drivers coming to the end of every single stage complaining they've lost a load of bumpers and that kind of thing. So that's been an issue.
On top of that, the one car that we said was a simple design because it was going to be consistent right through the rally and it would work brilliantly is the one that's not working.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's quite interesting in my perspective. But yeah, I agree. Each time we're going to get to a new rally, you've got a new car, we're going to get different issues popping up, aren't we? And there's going to be plenty of talking factors. And that's one of the great things about changing the rules, isn't it? You know, we're seeing it in F1 at the minute where they've just changed the rules. And
Jack, I tuned out F1.
All right. So Ryan could talk about World Endurance Championship every other week, but I can't mention it.
Mention World Endurance Championship?
Oh, I think you should listen back. I think Ryan mentioned sports cars quite a bit.
Right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, maybe mentioned 911s. They're sports cars, aren't they?
I'm sure I remember you talking about World Endurance Championship a few times, right?
How many episodes of this podcast have we done? And the way you say every week, Rye opens up, is any other businesses about world sports cars?
Well, I was exaggerating. It wasn't meant as a... Should we move on?
We will move on. At OGA Confidence after M Sport Gravel Test, that's where we'll move on to.
Well, if that's where you want to go, that's where we'll take it to. Sebastian having a good skid around in Mexico, and sort of, I think we alluded to it last week a little bit, didn't we, about testing and how this is a really important one for Mexico. But given the fact that it's the first proper gravel rally, it's really important for these guys to get the setup right on the test and make sure everything's working properly before we've got a full gravel event where I wouldn't say things are going to be predictable, but you know, it's different obviously to the snow of Sweden and to the completely sort of snow, ice, tarmac that you get in Monte. It's a relatively consistent surface throughout the rally, and it's the first proper gravel event. So really important for these guys to have a good test and get everything going. And OJ seems to be quite confident. And one of the things he's mentioned quite a few times is the fact that he's not had so much time in the car and he's not had as much preparation as he'd like, so even more important for OJ to get that testing mileage in for his own benefit.
Right, I think we sometimes forget, you know, OGA's done 2 days testing here, 346 miles of gravel testing in 2 days. That's some going, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of mileage, and obviously they're not Tanak took over and did not far off the same mileage. So a lot of miles, a lot of gravel mileage for M Sport on that new car. So you know, it sounds like Auger is really quite confident now, because I think it's fair to say before the first two rallies he was on the back foot a little bit, or felt on the back foot. I mean, we know just how fantastic he is as a driver, so he maybe didn't show it on the rallies, but I think beforehand, he felt his preparation obviously wasn't ideal with the last minute nature of the move to M Sport. And so certainly before Monty, he felt a little bit on the back foot, and then he hadn't done a lot of miles in Sweden before the rally. But nonetheless, he got two strong results, and now we're sort of seeing Ogier talk confidently again, which is which is probably ominous for the competition. But great for M Sport to get so much mileage on the car.
Jack, again, we come back to this, is that Ogier testing for 2 days. He feels confident, he feels happy. Tanak, the same. Obviously, Elvin's obviously also put his clicks in as well. Have we had any word from regards to... I always find this quite interesting, and I'll probably come back to Rye about this in a second. Obviously, when you've got the likes of M Sport, and you know, we're going to talk more about M Sport in the British Rally Championship a bit later on. They're going to have a two-car team, one car running on Pirellis, the other car going to be running on D-Max by all accounts. We're going to talk about that very, very shortly. But you're going to have, obviously, Ogier and Tanak, and then you're going to have Elvin taking over the car for the rest of the miles, where they just bolt on some D-Max tyres. Is there information shared? Do you guys ever pick up on the fact that information shared between the two tyres? I'm always interested in this one.
It is interesting, isn't it? I know for a fact that in Monty in Sweden, the M Sport boys got 2 days of testing and Elvin got one. And as far as I know, that's going to be the situation moving forward for the next few rallies as well. So, it's my understanding at the minute that, like I said, that Ogier and Tanak will get 2 days and Elvin only gets the one. So, whether that affects sort of if they did want a back-to-back test, if that's what he's kind of getting out of there, Tony, then if they did want a back-to-back, then they've only got 1 day of DMAT data and 2 days of Michelin. So that might be a little bit difficult to get proper data from that. But you can't sort of, if you're Michelin or DMAC, you can't be watching every single tyre that goes on every single car in every single test, can you? So if they did want a back-to-back, wouldn't be that difficult to do if they didn't want to do it.
Obviously the data in the car and everything else. But Ryan, I'll come to you on this. You've done a lot of testing, tyre testing, and obviously car testing over the year. Just how far away, in kind of layman's terms, would be the car set up on a Michelin tyre to a car set up on a D-Max tyre, for instance, or a Pirelli, but last year, of course, when we had Pirelli in there. Just how far away are we talking settings-wise?
It obviously varies from one tyre to another, and also from one compound to another. So it's not easy to give a straight answer to that. And a lot of it, again, comes back to driver feeling on the tyres as well. What works for one driver on one tyre doesn't necessarily work for another tyre. Another driver on another tyre. So some of it can be the tyre, and some of it can be the feeling that you get. Some tyres maybe give more lateral grip than others. I mean, in terms of traction and braking, etc., then they're not a massive difference. But like I said, the lateral load sometimes varies from tyre to tyre. So, it isn't something that you can give a simple answer to, because it depends not only on the tyre type, but also on the compound. But just to go back to your original point, I mean, inherently, DMAC are getting a lot of information on the Michelins because of the way M Sport are testing, as we know, like the two lead drivers, if you like. No disrespect to Elvin with that comment, but the two lead drivers are testing first, and Elvin's testing on the third day. So inherently, being a new car, being the third day of the test or the fifth day of the test, whatever it is, the car is going to be pretty much in the spec that it ended with on the Michelins before it starts with DMAC, because they haven't got any previous information for the car. So I guess they're getting a lot of interesting feedback in terms of how their tyre works alongside. But I'm led to believe with M Sport that there isn't a massive difference in setup between the two tyres.
Okay, and now somebody else, of course, who will be out in a 2017 car, Lorenzo Biatelli, who, by the way, the images of his car came out. I know I've probably asked you this one, Jack, and let's be honest, you will tell me if I have asked you this one before, but your favourite 2017 car, did we do this? Did I ask you this question?
No, I'm fairly sure you haven't asked me that question.
What's your favourite 2017 car?
I've got to say that Biatelli's car is definitely up there. It's a good looking one, isn't it? The DMAC, I like the DMAC, I like Elvin's DMAC car, but the other thing about that is it's fairly predictable DMAC livery, isn't it? It's kind of what we're used to, it's just a little bit different. But I think it looks good on the 2017 car and looks pretty smart. But yeah, I think Pirelli's is stunning, and Osberg's as well looks really good on the car. I've not really answered your question.
No,
sorry.
It's,
Batelli, yeah. I choose if I had to pick.
Brian, have you got any preferences yet? I think you normally favour a PSA car, but have you got any favourites?
In terms of looks of the cars or colour scheme
everything, because that's what this was meant to kind of happen, yeah. Wasn't it? You know, when you break it all down, we can talk about aeros and we can talk about this and we can say, but the whole idea was to get people excited by the looks and okay, the sound as well. But initially, you know, picture of a 2017 car, you know, it does have that, you know, that stance and everything else. In many ways, that's what it was all about.
Yes, it was, and they do look more dramatic and they do look more exciting. Maybe for me, obviously aero's taken, in the past when we had exciting looking rally cars, we didn't have advanced aerodynamics in rallying. And now for me, some of these cars just look like miniature DTM cars. So whilst they do look exciting, I'm just not sure about all these flicks and winglets and extra little spoilers. I'm not sure that creates a cohesive design, for want of a better description. I mean, we're just, funnily enough, we're talking about the Citroën being maybe less aggressive in terms of aero, and in some ways I think that makes it look more attractive. But in terms of livery, I know that energy drinks are available, but a Red Bull car always looks pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, I think one of my favourite liveries over sort of the recent 15 years or so was actually the Red Bull Fabia.
Panizzi
drove on, didn't he? Bamschlager car. I mean, they look striking, and I have to say, as energy drinks go, they've got quite a striking livery. It works pretty well on any car that they put a significant amount of blue and yellow on.
Happy days. Right, moving on. I think we mentioned this the other week, and again, Jack Benny couldn't wait to point out that he'd done it before me. Andreas Mikkelsen is going to be out by the looks of things, and certainly at least one, maybe more, rounds of WRC2, Jack, in the Fabia R5.
Yeah, it's been rumoured, hasn't it? And yeah, it'd be interesting to see if we actually see him out again. It's disappointing that he's not got the 2017 car that we all, well, I think it's fair to say that we all hoped he would, because he's someone, you know, everyone wants to see in competition. He's a guy who we know's got potential to win rallies in a 2017 car if he was in one. So, you know, I think we can only be disappointed that he's not in one and providing us with even more competition than we've already got, because, you know, we're already fairly sure that it's going to be a very close battle for the rest of the season. So disappointing not to see him in a 2017 car, but he's got to stay fresh in some way, and probably doing it in a works backed R5 is probably the best way to do it. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced doing stuff in a 2016 car, you know, paying for it for himself would be the cleverest way. I think doing it with Skoda's, you know, he's getting the same benefit. He's staying sharp and he's got a good program behind him there.
This is Absolute Rally. Pace Notes Rally Magazine. Britain and Ireland's only dedicated rally publication. Rally news, interviews, features and reports from Clubman rallies to the WRC. Available from all good newsagents or subscribe at rallymag.com. Pace Notes Rally Magazine. Your number one monthly Rally read. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. And it is a story which I find really, really interesting. And this is something which I keep on talking about, where kind of coaching and things like that. But I'm going to come to you first, Jack, and I'll come to Ryan, obviously, on this one. But this headline here, it's not really a headline. It's just kind of the story in one very nice sentence. But Danny Sordo reaches out to help teammate Paddon's Tarmac Pace, Jack.
Yeah, he's invited Hayden down to his karting track in Spain to do a bit of testing and try and improve his tarmac form. You know, the problem Hayden's had is, you know, he didn't get any running in Monte Carlo, and we've got Corsica, get my words out, coming up soon. So obviously we know how quick Hayden is on gravel, but his tarmac form does need a bit of work, and, you know, really nice to see this kind of story, isn't it, coming out, you know, a fellow competitor helping out a teammate and giving him the opportunity to try and advance his experience a little bit.
Right, is this a little bit of a first, would you say? If I'm struggling to remember any other times. Obviously, you know, you have teammates, you've had teammates, I've had teammates, you know, and you do work together on certain things, and maybe you do give a bit of information, or, well, I found this work for me or whatever, but certainly not this kind of public kind of show of appreciation and support for a teammate and to try and help out, not one that kind of happens on a regular basis, is it?
No, it isn't. And I guess that's the modern world that we live in, isn't it, in terms of media interest in everything. And, you know, there's a lot of stories out there, be it on social media or written media. And I think everything's probably dissected a little bit further than it was in the past. But you're right. In terms of happening in public, it's not a common thing. But I think it's always been the case where, you know, a young driver goes to a team and he sits in with the more experienced drivers. He learns from the more experienced drivers. You know, you think of Petter Solberg when he went to M Sport in the early days. You know, when he had McCrane Science there, you think of even Loeb probably learning off again the same McCrane Science at Citroën, although he's already going faster than they were. But anyway, that's another story. But you know, there's always been the new drivers coming into the teams where you've had the established drivers. So I think it's probably always happened. But I think this is a great thing for Hayden Paddon, because we've talked about it before. He is a great driver. He's very quick on gravel, but yet to show his tarmac pace. And Danny Sordo's been there and done it and got the results on tarmac. So it's great to see him publicly helping, and I'm sure it'll bring Hayden on. And also, we've obviously Hayden had an unfortunate start to the year, but there've maybe been a couple of rallies that haven't suited him. I mean, Mexico, I would expect to see Hayden Paddon back at the front, because we know the car's good. Thierry Neuville's already shown that. We know Hayden Paddon's a very, very good gravel driver. So, you know, let's hope we see him back fighting at the front very soon, because Mexico could be a good chance for him to, you know, to start that bit of a comeback.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, bringing things a little bit closer home, but still having very much the international feel, Jack, one story which you and I were speaking about not so long ago, and it's now being confirmed. You guys have run a nice headline on it, and Henning Solberg's offspring is coming to the BRC.
It is, yeah. Oscar Solberg is the guy who's coming to JBRC this year to do the season with MH Motorsport, which is Mick Harris's outfit, some people know in the UK. Oscar's done a bit of Drive DMAT Trophy last year and has done a couple of Rally Swedens as well, and coming over to try and improve his pace a little bit and go for the title is his aim. It'd be interesting to see how he gets on in the with Mick and whether he can beat some of the Peugeots who we've got coming into the championship this year, and some of the other guys as well. So it'd be interesting to see how he gets on.
Right, again, there's a very obvious point here. The weight of expectation, as soon as you put that name up, you know, people will go Petter, Henning, and obviously will now go to Oscar as well. But, you know, you only have to feel a little bit. Last year, obviously, we started the season with Max Vatanen, and obviously there was budget issues and things like that, and we lost Matt very, very quickly. You almost feel like you want these guys not to have to carry the surname of the famous families, don't you?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Having a family that are well-known in the sport certainly opens doors to get you in there and helps get you established. I mean, obviously having Jimmy around didn't do Colin any harm. But when you've got a world champion, like for Petter, then obviously Petter's son's got to live up to something, as Oscar will have to Henning. But I don't know. I mean, I think we just have to take them on an individual basis. Like you said, with Max coming trying to live up to Harry. I mean, it's, you can't compare them directly. It's different eras, it's different cars. I think any help that your family can give you to get you into the sport and get you introduced to it has got to be a help, and we've just got to take them one by one. And it's great to see Oscar coming across to the British Championship. It's again supporting the fact that the British Championship's on the rise again, seeing you know, European drivers coming across, Scandinavian drivers coming across, and it's still a good grounding. You know, we still have a good mix of tarmac and gravel rallies that are tough events, and I'm sure he'll learn from it. He's still a young driver, still at the start of his career, so you know, let's give him time and hope that he progresses nicely with it.
Absolutely. Right, Jack, I'm really, really pleased for Mike Harris, again, speaking of teammates, an ex teammate of mine from probably 10, 11 years ago now. You know, Mike's kind of took a step back from driving himself. He's really built the business with his father as well. The rise kind of up the ranks, and they've kind of put the building blocks in over the last kind of 5 years, and here they are now, a front-running R2 team in the British Rally Championship with one of the more famous names in rallying.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, like I said earlier, it's going to be great to see how they get on.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Now, a former British Rally Champion is back. It's been speculated on off and on probably for about 6 weeks, but Keith Cronin is returning to the British Rally Championship. Of course, he was there last year. Didn't quite go according to plan with the DS3R5 car, but we see him in a blue oval for the first time, Jack.
Yeah, he's going to be working with M Sport for the first time in a fully works back entry. Really interesting to see how he gets on. He's going for the championship this year, and he's got three already, so this could be potentially his fourth championship if he can win it. That'd put him on par with Roger Clark and one behind Jimmy McRae, who's got five. You mentioned Jimmy earlier. But even more interestingly, I think it'd be under four different rules structures and with four different manufacturers. So that's a pretty unprecedented stat when you look at different championships and different sports, isn't it, really? You don't see that too often. So really interested to see how he gets on. And I think he's got the testing behind him now. He can go and test with M Sport. He's got a proper M Sport car. It's something Keith's not had before, really, is the, you know, the backing of a proper proper manufacturer like M Sport, with the amount of testing he can do and the car he's got underneath him. So he might be a little bit slow on the uptake in terms of the gravel because he didn't do too much last year, but on tarmac you've got to assume he's going to be right there challenging for wins and was Irish tarmac champion last year. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he gets on.
Right, this is something I find really, really interesting. Apparently, you know, M Sport really wanted Keith. We don't know too much about how the deal's being put together, but I suppose in your day the benchmark was Mark Higgins, and again now we move on another generation. Unfortunately, we all get older, but I suppose the benchmark today would be Keith Cronin.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he's already a three times British champion. He's the current Irish tarmac champion. So he's definitely he's definitely one that people will compare themselves against in an R5 car. He's been there in various different cars, but like you said, he won the Irish tarmac championship in the DS3 last year. He didn't have the best run in the BRC with it. The DS3 always seems a tricky car to run. Obviously they're running the car privately, and as Jack just said, this is quite a different situation. Regardless of the funding, how the deal's put together, it is a proper M Sport car. He's going to have the best car he can have. He's going to have the best environment he can have. So, you know, that does make him, you'd have to say, a hot favourite. He's certainly not going to have a three-year-old car he's trying to get the latest updates for. He will have the best he can have. So he's proved he can do it before. He's still a relatively young driver. He's clearly quick on both gravel and tarmac, and you'd have to say at the minute he's the one to beat.
Absolutely. I think it's again, it shows that M Sport are really viewing the British Rally Championship in a very serious light, Jack. You know, I think we've all had concerns for that tricky second album, which is kind of a well-worn joke now for all of us, that, you know, we embraced the BRC last year. We all did, obviously. You know, I did. I went and did it, and plenty of other people did. But we had some concerns. I think you've mentioned it in your column this week as well. But I suppose we all, you know, having a credible champion with a fully funded back drive is good news.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's two very simple ways you can look at it. The overall numbers on last year are going to be down. I think that's an accepted fact. But what we have got is no Elvin Evans, which doesn't provide the same sort of level of publicity that you might expect, you know, coming with Elvin. But without him, you've got a much more competitive championship. I don't think you can look at it any other way. You know, he won 5 to 7 rounds last year and blitzed his way to the championship. This year, far more difficult to pick an outright winner of the championship. Although Keith's going to be backed by M Sport, there's still a question mark over how quick he's going to be up to speed on gravel in that car. And, you know, we've got Frederick Arlen there, who's the only person other than Elvin to win a gravel event last year. We've got Martin McCormack, who's proved that he's quick in the past. We've got David Bogie, who's competing with the Skoda Motorsport guys on GB for pace. So there's a lot of quick guys in there, and all of them could come up winning the championship. So I think in the juniors and in the R5 class, there should be more competition, although there's going to be less numbers. And whether that's sustainable over the year, we'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, I think the thing that's exciting for me is that the competition's back, and we're going to have a real fight for the championship.
Absolutely. A couple of little bits of admin as well. Congratulations to Matt Osberg and his missus. He put some nice pictures on Twitter the other day. I'm doing baby stuff. That's where we've got to with the podcast now. But no, to be fair, congratulations, Matt. The reason why, I'll be honest with you, it's just reminded me, is the fantastic picture you've got of Oscar Solberg beneath your headline, which you've got the adapter team on. It's just reminded me, of course, that Mads will be missing Rally Mexico, because at that point he was getting ready to become a dad. But little little junior has arrived a little bit early. So congratulations to Madsen and his missus for that one anyway. Anyway, boys, we're kind of getting close to any other business. And now, Rye's got loads. We know that. Jack, how big's yours?
Just one short one for me.
Oh, dear. Jack, do you have any other business, my friend?
My only other business is regarding a friend. Well, I think I can call him a friend of Ryan's, although I'm sure Ryan's tried to do his best to not be his friend, but mine's about Johnny Milner. He's going to be entering the Alan Healey Memorial Rally in the UK at Cadwell Park with an ex-Science Toyota Celica. Now, this is nice for me because I'm a massive fan of the 90s Celica, and it's going to be an ex-Science car from Australia in a Repsol livery. And although it's been made right-hand drive in Ireland, I'm forgiving the people in Ireland for making it right-hand drive, and I'm going to let them off on this occasion. And I'm going to be very excited to go and see two-time British Rally Championship winner Johnny Milner go and drive an X-Science Celica in the Motorsport News Circuit Rally Championship in a few weeks.
Just before I bring Ryan on this one, right, did I read that he'd sold the Corolla?
Yep.
I'm staggered because he went to a lot of trouble to buy that car. Ryan probably knows the story better than me, but it was a proper, obviously, I think it was one of the Step 2 cars, which he won his title in, right, and then he sold it and then bought it back again. So I'm staggered he sold it, but then again, I suppose he got the Celica.
Well, the other thing is that his daughter Katie's going to be racing in circuit racing this year, and that's a very expensive hobby, so I can imagine that's probably freed up some of the funds to allow him to do that.
It probably is, but right, I'm still, you know, the way you've hunted down your cars, and again, bingo calling, X works, I'm surprised he sold his Corolla.
I was quite surprised to hear that as well, I have to say. It seems that's the case, and that he's now got the Celica. So it'd be great to see it out, and you know the work Celicas were state of the art at the time, weren't they? We've talked about what a Team TTE was at the
what size restrictor I'll have in.
Well, a 185 was always on a, well, as far as we know. As far as we know. There was rumours about a Mr. Oriole on the last night of Monte Carlo once upon a time. But anyway, I'm sure we can't go down that road without getting sued by somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Have you got any other business there, Ryan Champion?
Just a couple of things from me. As we led up to it last weekend, it was Race Retro last weekend. So I had the Subaru there, enjoyed doing some skids in the Subaru there. Ari Vatanen was there in the X-Works Legacy as well, the X-McRae Legacy, and I was lucky enough to sit with him. So that was quite an experience. Another one to tick off the list, to sit alongside, well, a proper legend of the sport in Ari Vatanen.
Fair play to you. That was a very quick any other business for you, Ryan Champion.
Well, you know, that was the main thing. The other thing I just wanted to say briefly, and it's not this weekend, I think it's the following weekend, but we've got the Malcolm Wilson Rally coming up, and if we want to see how the BRC is going to go, that's going to be a pretty good pointer towards it, because we've got a lot of the BRC protagonists out there with our five cars, and I actually wish I had my old Mitsubishi there amongst them, really.
Well, I will be there. I'll be there flying the Absolute Rally flag with our new livery, with our new tyre manufacturer, and everything else. So I'm quite excited. Our race suits and everything arrived the other day, and the car livery was done as well the other day, and it looks mega. Just saying. So we'll be there anyway. We'll be there. My end of the business for this week is Hyundai based. Okay. A couple of things. We spoke about this, and I think we even spoke to him when he was on with us, but it's with regards to Hayden Padden's team, the Hyundai New Zealand team, that's now being announced, and they've got drivers lined up for that, and they've got David Holder, who's going to be doing the first two rounds of the championship, and it's going to be run by Hayden Padden and his father, and basically they've got different young drivers coming in and doing two events in the car. It's got a very striking livery. I'm just looking at a very nice picture of it now, and I just think it's great. I don't know whether Hyundai, obviously we know that it's an AP4 plus car for over on the Asia Pacific series there, which Hayden's been involved with, but also Jack, I'll come back to you at this point. There's a story, you guys, with regards to Hyundai driver gets debut, which is the Hyundai Motorsport, who've been running this development program to raise the profile of the sport in South Korea, and Chin Won Lim, there you go, He's the first driver to take part, and he will contest 9 rallies in a Hyundai i20 R5. Lim has basically beat 5,000 rivals on a TV reality show to get this drive. I think that's staggering. I don't know whether... Has anybody ever won a season's rallying in anything via a TV reality show? Ryan Champion?
Not as far as I know. But it'll be good to see how he gets on. If he's the best out of 5,000 running, I mean, the success of Nissan's program in circuit racing, you know, from the gamers, from Gran Turismo, is proof that unusual routes can work. So let's see.
There you go. So that's it. So no, hats off to Hyundai. That's even got alliteration, isn't it? Obviously, they don't have that R2 or R3 car. You know, you are going straight to an R5 car, but they are actively working with young drivers to try and find ways into to try and support them. Now, one last thing before I go, completely, well, it is kind of related, but it wasn't going to be part of my any other business. I don't know whether either of you can jump in. Is Kevin Abering still involved with Hyundai?
We won't all jump at once.
No, actually,
I'm under the. I think he is at the minute.
The reason why I say that, I've seen a very nice picture of his car with. I think it was a 208 R5 car. With Peter, who's the guy who very affluent guy over in Belgium, right?
Peter Sean.
Yeah, he always has proper kit. And he gave a few drivers opportunity. I think Thierry Neuville even had an opportunity. I think he sat alongside them or something like that. I think he always ends up co-driving for them or something. But I've seen this image with Kevin Abering with a 208 R5 car. I'm sure I did.
Oh, Tony, sorry, I didn't hear you say 208. Yeah, he did a rally in Belgium, rally van, or what? It begins with H.
Rally Haspengouw.
Yeah, he did that in a 208 and finished on the podium. I think he was second or third.
Okay. No, I just didn't know whether he was still involved. What Hyundai were doing and everything else. Obviously, it's gone a little bit quiet on that front. But still, there you go. Anyway, that's it, boys. For the newsy bit. Obviously, we've got Rob Duggan coming up next, which Jack's going to be talking to Rob with us, but Rye's got superhero stuff to do. Actually, Rye, we've been quite spoiled. You've been quite easy to get into do some of these shows this season. Are you due to be going anywhere soon?
A couple of weeks going to sunnier climes in southern Europe, but I will be in sunny Yorkshire again next week.
Oh, there you go. Jack Bennion, will you be, are you on an alleyway, are you this week?
I'm not in an alleyway. I'm currently looking at blueprint of a Mercedes W05 hybrid, and you're going to fall asleep again now, so I'll shut up.
And on that
it's hung on the wall.
Right, okay.
Of my office.
You've got an office?
Well, no, I've got my own personal office, but our office in general. I'm not right. That important to me.
I was just about to say, that staggered me, that they gave you a room with crayons in. I thought that was amazing.
I'm not allowed crayons.
No, okay.
I ate them last time, and that was apparently not allowed.
Okay.
That would end badly, that.
Yeah, it would. So that's the end of the newsy stuff for this week. Folks, you know where we live. It's @Absolute_Rally. We're going to have the new website coming anytime now, which is absoluterally.co.uk. And there's going to be some profiles on there. There's going to be how you can listen to the show. And there's links on there for people who support the podcast and stuff like that. And we're also going to be looking at Patreon. As ways of people are getting involved with the podcast and supporting a little bit. If you enjoy it, then, you know, you might want to help us out a little bit. So we're going to be looking at a few things there as well, but that'll all be via the website, and that'll be coming in the next week or so. So it depends when you download the podcast, I guess. But sit back, relax, and get ready for Rob Duggan.
This is Absolute Rally. Pace Notes Rally Magazine. Britain and Ireland's only dedicated rally publication. Rally news, interviews, features and reports from Clubman rallies to the WRC. Available from all good news agents or subscribe at rallymag.com. Pace Notes Rally Magazine. Your number one monthly rally read. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to the final section of Absolute Rally for this week. Friend of the show, I think we can call Rob that, junior British Rally Champion last year, a man who's been very, very busy I'm assuming, since the end of the British Rally Championship on the Manx last year. Rob Duggan, welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Thanks very much for having me back.
Listen, we wanted to get you back because we're fascinated to know what's happened from when you finished the Manx to where we are today. What has been going on and what have we achieved?
A lot has happened though, really. It's after the a win in the Killarney Historic Rally. It was a great finish to our year after the British title. And since then, really, it's just been busy trying to get everything in place to go do the Junior World Rally Championship. So things are coming into place. We're actually on our way to M-Sport now, so for training days. So it's looking good, but still a lot of work to do, but we're trying hard.
Rob, some people have seen that sort of towards the end of the year you'd won the championship and the prize that was on offer for the championship, but I think some people may have underestimated how much kind of work you've had to put in over the winter and stuff as well, and it's not been quite as easy as you buying a new set of overalls and waiting for your trip to Corsica, has it? There's been a lot of work to put in.
Yeah, there's a lot of money to gather up and trying to get sponsorship and everything, and besides that there's a lot of other stuff that has to be done. Admin stuff and just getting everything organised so we can go to the first rounds with our mind at ease and try and do the best we can, not to worry about anything. There's a lot of work still to be done, but we have a couple of weeks left and hopefully we'll have everything done and be able to go out and enjoy Corsica.
The other thing some people may have noticed as well is that you've driven an R2 before, but some people may not have picked up that was the old spec 1.6 litre R2, and the one you're going to be driving this year is going to be the turbo all-needs car, isn't it? So how much different are you expecting the Fiesta to be, and are you worried about sort of stepping up to it? Do you think it's going to be too much different, or how are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling okay about it. We drove the pure turbo one maybe 2 years ago, just when it came out, when we were deciding what our two cars to buy between the Peugeot, well, it was after the Fiesta, and yeah, it felt very good. It was a bit weird with the turbo, right, that you're not revving the car as much as naturally after the car, but we're doing West Cork as a test, so we should be well familiar with it by the end of 2 days of West Cork and hopefully have a good feeling for Corsica.
It's going to be an interesting year for you, isn't it? How do you think the BRC set you up last year? Because that was kind of your first year of writing notes over the course of a whole season, wasn't it? And your first proper sort of, I don't know what you'd call it really. You've done proper championships before, but the BRC must have been another step up from what you've done previously in your career. So how are you feeling that's kind of set you up for the championship this year?
Yeah, it's definitely set us up a lot better than what we could gain in Ireland. One big thing would be that you can record the gravel rallies in the BRC. That set us up very good for the WRC coming. Two-pass recce, same as in the BRC. Everything really kind of puts you forward and gets you ready for going to the World Championship. So it was definitely a very good step for us and the best step we could have taken 2 years ago. So it was good.
I know you're a competitive man, so you must have already been looking at who else is in the championship this year. Who are you sort of seeing as your main rival this year, and who's going to understand your Irish jokes?
And probably no one will understand the Irish jokes, though. But we haven't really looked at who's there. We've just been so busy trying to get everything else sorted. I really don't know who our competition is, and I suppose there's only one way really to find out, and that's when we come off the first stage of Corsica. I think it's 7 or 8 kilometres, and we know who's our competition after that, or if we have any competition, or if they're miles ahead or miles behind, we'll know after that.
Absolutely. Are you kind of picking out any sort of rally that you're really looking forward to this year? Is there one that you've always wanted to do and it's on the calendar, or is there any sort of events you're picking out specifically?
I suppose Finland really is the one that kind of stands out in most people's heads. Gravel, unfortunately for me, is tarmac, is my preferred surface, but no, definitely looking forward to going out there, and it's supposed to be a crazy event from start to finish, and just can't wait to get out there and give a crack at it.
If tarmac's your preferred service, then it can't get much better than sort of having your first one in Corsica, can it really? You must have watched a few videos of that one and seen a few of the videos down the years of people doing Corsica, and that must be one you're really looking forward to.
Yeah, definitely. Just watching videos, just trying to familiarise ourselves with the whole thing over the last couple of weeks. Just get used to the stages, what they're like, what the notes need to be like. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a good event to start with, as it is on tarmac. But then again, there's probably guys there with a lot of experience on the roads that we will be rallying on. So it'll be tough to go out there first time, outside of Ireland and England and try and go out there and be on the pace straight away, but we'll definitely be trying.
No changes with regards to co-driver is the issue, Rob?
No, Jor is back on board for 3 events out of the 6. He's getting married this year, so a bit of time off is needed. But we haven't started out a co-driver yet for the other 3 rounds, but we're in talks with a few people, and we should have something started before the 1st round so we can get a test in place as well and get used to the new co-driver before we hit Italy.
Jack Benyon's got quite a good record of co-driving. Just putting it out there, Rob.
I don't know what I'd be able to understand his notes, Colin.
He doesn't like me enough to have him sat next to him for 3 days. I think he'd end up killing me.
Don't say that.
Rob, if I can just ask you, I know Jack's just mentioned it there with regards to, you know, rivals and other competitors, and you said you haven't had a chance to look at it. Would you normally take, you know, last year, for instance, would you have looked at who you were going up against, looked at their strengths and weaknesses and where their background was, or do you just get on with your own thing?
Not really, we just get on with our own thing. Look, we go out there, we do the same thing, whether they're quicker, they're slower, they're fast in some places and slow in other places. I'm going out there to drive as hard as I can for as long as I can. And that's the way we approach it. Every stage is the same, really, unless we have a big lead or something that we can manage it, that we might back off a little, but 90% of the time it's drive flat out.
Do you feel last year, obviously it was such an important, you know, part of your career so far, but the other big thing, of course, was the D-Mac tyres that you ran on. There'll be some people coming into the championship perhaps that haven't got that year's worth of experience for running those tyres. Does that give you an added boost?
Yeah, kind of it does. It's a different tyre we're using this year, the newer compound tyre, so it'll be a bit different for me as well. They'll be better than last year's tyre. I don't know, I haven't driven on them yet, so it'll be just a case of wait till we get a test over before the 1st round in Corsica and see what they're like.
Just one more for me, Rob. Looking at the kind of the end of last year, some people might look at Killarney and think, yeah, that's, you know, it was great that you won that, and it was a fairly sort of national event, you would call it, I guess. But you know, how important was that event, given the fact that, you know, GB, sorry to bring it up, but you know, you had a bit of a bit of an off there at the end, and you know, it was coming, wasn't it, after, what was it, 4 years of rallying without any sort of major crash. But how important was Killarney in terms of psychologically just kind of turning that around and getting you back on the right track ready for this year?
Yeah, well, after GB, I suppose every thought was running through our heads that is this just going to keep happening, or was it ever going to happen again? So it was nice to get out. I know I wasn't in the same car or anything, but on home soil with your home crowd around the place, all the supporters and stuff, it gave her that little bit of a boost to get back out and try her best again. And of course, coming out with the win there, beating all the local lads and all the guys that are driving Mark 2s all year round, was a big plus and a big boost of confidence again. So I just can't wait to get back behind the wheel again and prove what we can do.
Rob, I'm going to ask you a very obvious question, which I think everybody asks every Irish rally driver whenever they get interviewed, when anybody ever talks to them. But what's in the water over there? Why are you guys constantly producing very, very quick rally drivers? What do you think the secret is behind it?
I don't know what the secret it is, but if you tell me, find out, I'll have a bit more of it, whatever it is.
Good lad. I just want to say, we just seem to be in that, you know, obviously I'm sure you know John Armstrong is another quick boy that I've known for a good number of years. I remember him doing his first events and stuff. You know, John, phenomenally quick. Is John managing to get to JWRC with you this year?
John is doing 2 rounds. I believe he's doing 2 rounds in a WRC 2 car R5. He'd be one step ahead of us to be where we'd be looking to go next year with the prize of the JWRC, so we won't be fighting against him, but I'm sure over the next couple of years we'll definitely be back fighting with him somewhere. It'll be a very good fight, that's for sure.
Oh, I think it will be. Well, listen, Rob, we say this to all our guests that we get on at this point of the season anyway. Will you be our man in JWRC? Can we revisit you throughout the year, kind of going through the journey with you?
I really hope so, and that's for sure.
Brilliant. Listen, you're going to be our man in JWRC this year, so we will catch up very, very soon. That's probably coming up towards Corsica. Maybe we'll have another catch up then. But listen, we'll let you go and get your hands dirty now at M Sport. Do you know what you're going to be doing up there? Is it just familiarity checks and things like that on the car?
Yeah, just that and just a couple of administrative checks and just a training day. It is two days, and we get to drive the car on Wednesday. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Listen, enjoy yourself. That's the other thing. Enjoy yourself. And I know you will anyway, by the way. I realise I don't really need to say this to you, but enjoy the experience, because I think when you enjoy it, I think the results will just come. And I think you proved that last year by a long shot, by the way.
We'll try our best. But thanks very much for having me on, and hopefully we'll speak soon.
Good man. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rob Duggan, British Junior Champion, of course, last year, stepping up to the Junior World Rally Championship this year. Thank you for the download. That is it from Jack Ryan and myself, and of course, Rob, for this week. We do appreciate the download. If you can leave us feedback on iTunes, it does help. And we're going to have the new website coming soon as well, so let us know what you think of that as well. Drop us a line. You know how to get hold of us. It's @absolute_rally on Twitter and facebook.com/absoluterally. Or you'll be able to find us on our new website, which is www.absoluterally.co.uk.